All right. Well, it's good to be in church today. Amen. And looking forward to a good day in the Lord. So let's go ahead and get our Bible and let's see, where did we leave off last time? I erased everything because it was all, I didn't have it up there the way I wanted it. So I think we left off at Noah. Is who we left off at. So let's see, how's them work? Oh, left off at Adam. All right, so what we're talking about here is we're talking about the, man, now my rag's gone. Jordan and Angel gave me these little markers. It's got little erasers attached to them, so it'll take me a minute to get used to them. There we go. Let's see, I'm not drawing a caterpillar, although that's what it looks like. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, and the first one we talked about was Lucifer, right? That's the first one we talked about. Now we're talking about kingdoms, all right? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and how they're not the same kingdom, all right? Each of them has a difference, and one of the differences is, let's see, we'll use this right here. One's physical and one's spiritual. Okay? When he says in Genesis 1:1, he says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Well, God is spiritual. Because John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when God was there, that made it a spiritual kingdom. But whenever He created heaven and earth, those were physical creations. Those were not spiritual creations. They were physical. You could put your hands on them. You could stand on them. You could exist in them. So they were physical creations. Now, before Adam got created and put on the earth, there was somebody else that God had created. And that was Lucifer. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. We went through all those verses. And over in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 and Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the one that was in control. He was the one that was in control of the physical kingdom, which God had created the heaven and the earth. He was the one in control of it. And then he was a spiritual being because when God created him, he was eternal. So he didn't have an end. He's not going to have an end, right? He won't have an end at all. Since the day God created him, he's always been and he always will be. Even after he's condemned to his eternity in a lake of fire, he's still going to be eternal when he goes. And he'll be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. All right? So, then whenever he cast him out, because Lucifer over in Isaiah 14, he became Satan. And it said in Isaiah 14, it says, I will ascend above the stars, I will exalt my throne. So he's got a throne. That makes him a king. And whenever he fell and God kicked him out, then the kingdom and the rule and the dominion over the earth went to Adam. All right, so then Adam comes along and Adam's got control of both kingdoms, right? He's got both kingdoms because he's got the physical kingdom, because, well, Psalm said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, the son of man that thou visitest him? He says, you made him a little lower than the angels and gave him dominion. When Adam was created out of the dust of the ground, see, Adam's physical. Adam was created out of the dust of the ground. That's a physical creation. But Adam had the spirit of life inside of him and was innocent and was pure and sinless. That's why he said, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, so Adam was sinless just like God was. When the Lord created him over in Genesis 2, he said, "Let us make man in our image." So he made him in his image. And anybody created after Adam, was anybody that came after Adam wasn't created. They were born. Was Adam born? No. Adam was made. Was Eve born? No. Eve was made. So she and Adam together were spiritual beings as well as physical beings, but they were perfect and they were sinless. And then whenever Adam sinned, right, because the sin fell upon Adam, not upon Eve. Say, Eve was the one in the transgression. Yes, she was. But Adam was the one that was accredited for the fall. When Eve committed the trespass and took of the forbidden fruit, Adam could have looked at her, because it says he looked at her and he saw and he knew what she'd done. And Adam could have looked at her and said, and she'd have said, "You know, here's this fruit." And Adam could have said, "That's the fruit that the Lord told us not to eat." She said, "Yeah, but look at how it's enlightened my eyes, and look at how it's given me knowledge of good and evil, and now I'm like God having that knowledge." He could have said, "Yeah, but he told us the day we ate thereof, we'd die." Well, what was that death? Did they die the day that they ate the fruit? No. It's because the death that they died was a spiritual death, right? So when Adam fell, that spiritual kingdom left, and it was no longer a part of this, and it was no longer a part of what was about of this world. And then God took Adam and he kicked him out of the garden. And what did he tell him? What was Adam's commission? Do you remember? That's right. He said, from the dust of your brow you shall eat bread. From the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread all the days of your life. Right? Isn't that what he told him? All right. Well, what is that? Well, he was made of the dust. And then the Lord told him, "You're going to till the ground." And he said, "Of the fruit that comes of the ground, you're going to live." That's a physical life. See, Adam still had dominion, but his dominion was no longer spiritual dominion. Now it was just physical. Now he was the only man on the face of the earth. So he still had dominion. Everything on the earth, I mean, the Bible says that when sin came into the world, that God put an enmity between man and beast, because then man began to run away. Because, I mean, are animals sinless? Well, animals don't have souls. That Dutch cartoon they made all them years ago when my group was little kids, that sticks there. Look at that. Whenever they made that movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven. Well, then when preachers started coming out saying, "Sorry, but Fido ain't going." Boy, you talk about busting some people's bubbles. You know, "Oh, you ain't, you know, don't tell me my little Fifi ain't going to get to go to heaven with me." You know, so on and so forth. I even had a Christian one time that was so attached, I ain't going to tell you their name. You may know them, you may not know them, I don't know. But I had one that was so attached to their animal that they actually, when that animal died, they said that the only comfort they took in that was that they'd see him again in heaven. I'm like, no. I mean, I didn't tell them that, you know, but I was thinking, no, you're not. Because that animal don't have a soul. That animal's got a body, and that animal's got the spirit of life that God gave it. I mean, good Lord, me and Heather were driving up the road coming here today, and there was a car up in front of us that had a South Carolina tag. It's inevitable. We'll leave to come to church on a Sunday morning. We will get behind somebody going this way with a South Carolina tag. And anyway, they're coming down the road through there, and there's this little squirrel sitting right on the yellow line. And I mean, that little squirrel had the whole other side of the road that he could have run on. There was not a car in sight on the other side of the road. Nope, what did he choose to do? Waited till that car got right where he was and run right underneath the car. Now, luckily, he went right underneath the car as the car was passing, and he got out the other side before the tire got him. But I thought to myself, spirit of life just about left you. Of course, that thing could have walked off and had a heart attack. And I don't, you know, he might have went on to heaven. He might have died anyway. See, I done told you. you caught me. Yeah. But anyway, Adam lost it, but that spiritual kingdom left. And then, of course, the next person, and this is where we left off, God saw that he needed another man. God saw that the Bible says over in Genesis chapter 6, he got over there in Genesis chapter... Well, let's get Genesis chapter 9. That's where we'll start. Son, I ain't picking you up. You're just going to have to sit there and learn to be okay. All right. Now, if you remember in Genesis 6, whenever the Lord calls Noah, he tells him, he says, well, I'll tell you what, let's just go back to chapter 6 first. We'll get chapter 9 here in just a second. All right, chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now it says he repented him. Does that mean that God did something wrong? No, God didn't do nothing wrong. Repent just means to change. It means to go the other way. All right, God repented whenever he was going to destroy Israel. He was going to wipe them off the face of the earth. And the Bible says he repented of the evil that he thought to do to Israel. See, evil doesn't just have to do with sin either. He said he repented of the evil that he had thought to do. All right, but look, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And then it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then it goes on to tell you everything that goes on with the flood, the building of the ark, and so on and so forth. Now get over here in chapter 9, and let's see where Noah gets this kingdom from. All right, so Noah goes on that ark, and he's on that ark 40 days and 40 nights, and the earth is under the flood waters, and everything on the earth is destroyed. And then it says in chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, what? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Well, that's the same commission he gave Adam. Isn't it? Isn't that what he told Adam when he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden? He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. Replenish. Why would he say to replenish? If Adam and Eve were the first ones ever created, why would he tell them to replenish? See, that's where people get confused. That's where they've got to understand that this was part of what happened before Adam was even created. Otherwise, why would Adam be told to replenish if he was the first one to plenish? But he wasn't. There was somebody created before him that had charge over what God gave him. And when he lost it, then God said, I got to get me somebody else. Well, then when Adam fell and the sin of man came up before the Lord and got so great, the Bible says that he repented him and he said, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. And then Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All right, so the flood waters come and the flood waters go. But whenever the floodwaters go and the ark rests on top of the mountains of Ararat and Noah comes out, the same commission that God gave Adam, he gave Noah. And when Noah comes out of the ark, he's the king over the whole earth. There's nobody else on the earth that's over him. And under his command and under his control, his three sons and their daughter and his three sons and their wives go out over the face of the earth and they begin to multiply. And Noah ends up messing up. Remember what happens with him? Noah goes into retirement and he figures all's well that ends well, and he decides, I'm going to make me a vineyard. So he plants him a vineyard and the fruit of the vineyard starts coming out. Noah takes it and begins to drink and he gets drunk. And then when he gets drunk, something happens between him and one of his boys, and whenever he comes out of that and he wakes up from his drunken stupor, he curses one of his sons. Or he curses his grandson. It wasn't his son. His son's name was Ham, but he didn't curse Ham. He said, cursed be Canaan. Canaan was the son of Ham. And he did that. He said, cursed be Ham, a servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. And he said, God bless the Lord. He said, God bless the Lord God of Shem and Japheth. And anyway, I ain't going to get into all that. But anyway, Noah fell just like Adam fell. And whenever Noah fell, then God said, okay, well, apparently I'm not going to be able to get man to a place where he keeps this sin problem under control, so I'm going to have to do something else. So the Lord reaches out and he gets a hold of a man named Abram. And whenever he gets a hold of Abram, let's go ahead and get Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. And let's get verse 18. Genesis 15, verse 18. And in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites and all the ites. all the ites are there. But what does he give him? What does he say there, verse 18? He said, I'm going to give you the land, right? Physical. Physical. I'm going to give you a physical kingdom. Say, but that kingdom's not over the whole earth. Not yet. But it will be. The kingdom that, or the land that he promised him, was the entire land of Israel, the entire land of Canaan's what he promised him. Now, before that law's even given, and the law's in effect, Abraham's given an unconditional promise. Now, that's going to change later on, because when we get on further down the road, you're going to get into Moses and you're going to get into Joshua and so on and so forth. But when you get on down the road, when the law goes into effect under Moses, Moses goes up in the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments, brings them down. And when that law goes into effect, then God's promises to it, to that nation of people, become conditional. Right now, Abraham's given the promise of an inherited kingdom that's unconditional. No matter what happens, they're going to get that. They're going to get that piece of land. That means that right now, over there in the Middle East, every Muslim that's over there sitting on a piece of the land of Palestine is going to get booted off of it one day, because every bit of that belongs to Abraham. Every bit of it belongs to him and to his seed. And one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's of the seed of Abraham. He's a Jew by nature. So when he comes back, he's going to sit. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. All right. Let's see. Now, okay, yeah. So part of the covenant there that God makes with Abraham is going to be one that's hinged upon obedience. All right. Whenever Samuel talks to Saul about him losing the kingdom, he said to obey is better than to sacrifice. All right. So in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 22, the Lord warns the nation of Israel when the promise becomes conditional. He says, if you listen and you do what I tell you and you obey my statutes and you follow my commandments, he said, then you'll abide in the land. He said, but if you transgress my commandments and you transgress my judgments and my statutes, I'll kick you out. Now, it doesn't mean they lost the land. They didn't lose the land. It was promised to him. All right? He was promised that he was going to get that. In fact, even whenever him and Lot were together and their herds were too big for the land that they were in at that time to sustain them, he told Lot, he said, you choose which way you want to go and I'll go the opposite way. He said, our flocks are too big, our herds are too big. And he said, our herdmen are striving with each other over water and grass. And he said, so you choose which way you want to go and I'll go the other way. And Lot looked toward Sodom and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboam down there and the cities of the plain. And he says, I'm going to go that way. And Abraham said, okay, I'll go this way. And the way Abraham went was desert. But God took care of him out there. Why? Because he had a promise. He'd promised him that he was going to have that. He was going to have that piece of land over there. One of the things you got to remember whenever you're studying these two kingdoms is you got to remember that God orchestrated all this from the get-go. The whole theme of your Bible is about a king and a kingdom. Much as it's contrary to popular opinion, the theme of that Bible is not Jesus dying on a cross for your sin and saving you. Because you're not the theme of the Bible. He is. And the theme of that Bible is about a king coming back and getting a kingdom that belongs to him. That's what the theme of that Bible is. You realize there's more references in that Bible that have to do with the return of Jesus Christ to get on a throne and rule and reign this earth than there are any other subject. I mean, there's over 500 references, I think it is, in the Old Testament. There's over 500 references, or maybe it's 400. I think it's 400 or 500 references in the Old Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and sitting on the throne of David. And then there's 100 and something in the New Testament. So you got a lot of stuff in this Bible that's pointing toward a king and a kingdom. So that's what you got to keep in mind. So anyway, Abraham's promise, of course, falls right down the line, and the next one is to Isaac. And you know who Isaac is. Isaac is kind of a type picture of Jesus Christ, because Isaac, whenever he's about, I don't know, 16, 18, 20 something, I don't know how old he was. But over in Genesis 22, Abraham is spoken to by the Lord, and he says, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Now, and he took him up on a mountain, and he was going to offer him up there as a burnt offering, and the Lord stopped him right as the knife was fixing to come down. Now, here's something you got to remember. Go ahead and flip over and get Genesis 22. And we're going to start there in verse 1. Genesis 22, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Now watch what he says here. And he said, take now thy son, now look at that, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, he says, take thy son, thine only son. Was Isaac the only son Abraham had? No, he had one before he had Isaac. Didn't he? He had Ishmael. Ishmael was before Isaac. But he said, take thy son, thine only son. Now, let me show you something here. Go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Now, Jesus Christ isn't the first person that's mentioned as being the Son of God. Luke chapter 3. And in Luke chapter 3, what you're reading there is you're reading the genealogies. Right? You see it starting down there in verse 23. And it says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Mathat, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Melchi, which is the son of Jana, which is the son of Joseph, and so on and so on and so on and so on. But get down there to verse 38, end of the chapter, and look at what he says. Now he's brought his lineage all the way back to Adam, which was the son of Enos, that's Enoch, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. Who's Adam's the son of? Adam, which was the son of God. All right. So we're using this as a type picture. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ in that he was fixing to be taken up on a mountain and sacrificed, just like Jesus Christ was. But Isaac wasn't the firstborn. Ishmael was. In fact, Abraham's prayer, whenever God told him that he was going to have a son in his old age and he was going to be the one to inherit the promise, then Abraham said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." But he wasn't the one that God chose. Adam was created in this world to have dominion, but Adam was not the one that God chose. When Adam fell, God said, "Well, I'm going to have to do something else." And the next person that shows up on the scene that was like Adam was Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, he's sinless and perfect, just like Adam was made to be. But sin came in. That's why the Bible calls Jesus Christ, he calls him the last Adam. And we'll get into that here in a little, we'll get into that a little later too. Jesus Christ wasn't the first Son of God, but he was the only one born of God. Now that's the difference. Okay? Because he may have not been the first Son of God mentioned in Scripture, but he's the only one that was born of God. All right? No, neither was Isaac. Isaac was born of Abraham and Sarah, but he's a type of, we're just talking types. I mean, let's see. Well, everybody in here ought to know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave," now somebody else tell me the rest of that. "Only begotten Son." Now if you get, and I don't have one here, but if you've got a new version of the Bible, any new version, don't matter, even a new King James, I think, and you pick that thing up and you open it to John 3:16, you know what word you're not going to find? Begotten. You're not going to find begotten. It'll say God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. But that's not true. Is Jesus Christ the only Son of God? Not according to John 1:12. John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Are you a son of God? I am too. Well, then that Bible's a liar. Says it. He gave his one and only Son. No, he didn't. I'm still here.
Amen.
Amen. But the difference between me and Jesus Christ is that when I got born, my first birth was a physical birth. And my second birth is spiritual. So my first birth meant that I was a part of this physical kingdom. My second birth is what got me access to the spiritual one. Make sense? That's why he says, "Except a man be born again." Uh-huh. Let's go look at that. John 3. Let me look at that real quick. Just tell you. Now this is Nicodemus. He shows up to the Lord. John chapter 3. And in verse 1, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And now look, I like this. Jesus don't listen to all the pomp and everything. You know, here's old Nicodemus. "Oh, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. And oh, we know that nobody could do the things that you do unless God were with him." And that stuff don't even affect the Lord. You know why? Because in Philippians 2 it says, "He made himself of no reputation." He wasn't interested in people giving him accolades. Anytime he'd heal somebody, he'd tell them, he'd say, "Now don't you tell nobody." He'd heal them and say, "Now go and see that thou tell no man." But see, what? But Nicodemus is over here giving him all these accolades. That ain't what, But look at what the Lord said, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, there's a second birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Spiritual. It's not physical. It's a spiritual kingdom. And then go down to verse 5, because Nicodemus asks in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Two births, water and spirit. Well, water is physical. When your mother was pregnant with you and come to full term, what happened? Her water broke. So you're born of water first, physical, and then once you get saved, you're born of the Spirit, spiritual. So that means you have access to both kingdoms. Now that's a blessing. I know that's some deeper doctrinal stuff, but that stuff right there is what ought to get you. I mean, did any of these people have the promise of eternal life that you have? None of them. None of them did. Everything that they had was based on something God promised Abraham for a piece of dirt. He ain't promised me no piece of dirt. What did he say? He said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He that begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's your promise, and it's all spiritual. None of it has to do with physical. That's why when you hear these yard apes down here in these mega churches preaching this health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, and they're telling you that if you're really right with God and you really got faith, then you're going to have money and you're going to have good health, and every time you get sick, you're going to get healed, and blah, 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 blah. And they start telling you all that stuff, just throw it out the window. Why? Because they're talking physical. Everything about them is physical. And when they start preaching stuff to you that pertains to what you get physically here on this earth, you throw that stuff out the window. Why? Because you ain't a part of a physical kingdom right now. Amen. You're part of a spiritual kingdom. Lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven. It's spiritual. He said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But it didn't say when. It didn't say you was going to get them while you were here. It may not be till you get there that you get them. Now see, that's what burns people up. It burns people up when they see somebody that's wealthy and they've got some pretty good health and life's pretty good to them, and it makes them have a hard time imagining that somebody like that can even be saved, because they think that the key mark of being a real Christian and a real saved person is that you're poor and you're always sick and you always got it hard. Not always. There's some people in this world that are saved, just as saved as you are and just as saved as I am, but they've got a lot of things down here in this world. Do you know why those people were given those things? Because God could trust them where He couldn't trust you. If God wanted you to have $1 million and He gave it to you, it's because He knew He could trust you with it. Maybe that's the reason He gave them people all that money. It's because He knows He can trust them with it. The trick will be, okay, but now what are you doing with that money? Are you using it to serve God with? Or are you using it to enjoy everything down here on this earth? Because if you are, you're still saved, but when you get to glory, there'll be nothing. Because you enjoyed it all here. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the morning message this morning. God creates vessels, and it doesn't matter. He's got a desire of what He wants a vessel to be. But if that vessel chooses to try to be something that God didn't create it to be, that don't stop the molding process. The vessel still continues being made. It just becomes a dishonorable vessel. And we'll get into that this morning. All right, and then we're going to cover one more, Abraham and Isaac. And then we got one more here, and we'll close with this one. This is Jacob. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And Jacob comes along, and he's got the same promise that Abraham and Isaac had. Now, the thing about Jacob is that's a Hebrew name. You and me wouldn't have called him Jacob. Now, we use the word name Jacob here, you know. We typically don't call him Jacob. If somebody's named Jacob, what do you typically call him? Jake. That's the English way of saying it. Jacob is a Hebrew name. If you look for the Greek translation, it's Jacobu. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like the kind of name you'd give a monkey. All right, so Jacobu. That's how you say Jacob in Greek. Hebrew, it's, I can't say, I ain't even going to try to say it. I'll know I'll butcher it. But anyway, Jacob is a Hebrew name, Jacobu, but you know what? In English, we say Jake. You know what the roots are the same as the same name as? Jim. Jake and Jim in English are from the same root. Now, what's Jim short for? Jimmy? James? And what is that Bible in your lap called after? Oh, a what, James? Oh, it's a king. It's about a king. Oh, it's about a king named Jacob. But what was his other name? God said he changed his name. What did he change it to?
Israel.
Because as a prince, he had power with God. So if you got a King James Bible, you got the right book.
Amen.
Because it's connected to a king, and the Bible says where the word of a king is, there's power. And if Jacob, James, are derived from the same root in English, not in Hebrew, not in Greek, in English, Jacob and James are derived from the same root, then that means if you've got a King James Bible, which is the English Bible, then that means you've got the right Bible. Because it's connected with that same name, Jacob, which is actually Israel, which means as a prince, there's power. So you got the right Bible. And this man, whenever he comes along, he's a prince, and he becomes a nation of 12 tribes. And they wind up going down into Egypt in Genesis 41, 42, 43. And that's whenever Joseph winds up as second in command. And we're not going to talk about Joseph, but then whenever Jacob goes down to Egypt after he discovers that his son is alive and has been for all these years, then next thing you know, Jacob's died. And Joseph's died, and the patriarchs have all died, and Israel as a nation just continues to grow and continues to grow. And the Egyptians say, well, these people are getting to be too many. There's only one thing for it. And what was that? They said, well, we'll enslave them here. That's what we'll do. That's the only thing we can do. We'll just enslave them. So that's what they did. And we'll get into the deliverance part of it next week. All right. We'll